All right. Well, good morning. We are so excited that you have joined us for worship this morning. A couple of quick announcements as we begin our time together. This week for Thanksgiving, the office will close on Tuesday. At lunch, we'll be open Monday and half a day on Tuesday, but by lunch on Tuesday, we'll be closed and through the remainder of this week. So if you have business at the office, please call on Monday or Tuesday morning. 55 Alive is having their old-fashioned Christmas on December 4th from 3 to 5 p.m. This is an event you need to sign up for and pay for so they can reserve the food and those kind of things. You can do that in the lobby at the events table. So if you are 55 or above and want to come to an amazing, fun, crazy Christmas party, this is your opportunity on December 4th, but you need to sign up so they can prepare for that. We want to hold the date and remind you that Christmas at Luke 418, our night of worship, is going to be December 14th. That's a Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. You don't want to miss this. Our choir and orchestra has been preparing for a very long time. It'll be a wonderful time for you to invite friends and come and worship together that evening. I'm going to show a quick video before our last announcement, and then we'll finish up.
Time of trouble, that's when you need help. And y'all came out here and did exactly what you're supposed to do in the time of trouble.
And the crew that have come by to help me has really been a lifesaver, because I wouldn't know where to have started.
God bless you. You have helped so many people. You will never know how many people you've helped directly and indirectly with your generosity, your time, your volunteerism. I think yellow has become my new favorite color, and I will never forget it.
Having these men and women who volunteer their time and their effort is a powerful ministry to those who are hurting, those who have no hope, and those who are lost. It gives them hope, and that's what they did for us. They gave us hope.
The Alabama Disaster Relief is a wonderful organization that we do through the State Board of Missions, and we have many of our members who have been trained to go when disaster strikes and have had the opportunity to serve, and we wanted to recognize four of them today. They get a pin when they deploy and they go and serve, and so we have pins for them to recognize their service, and we wanted to do that today in front of all of y'all and to recognize them. Let's give them a round of applause if we could. And I'm going to get you yours. I'm short one this morning. I want to say, if I gave them a microphone, they would spend the next hour talking about what the Lord did and the opportunities they had to serve in crisis, but also to share the love of Christ in the middle of that. We're not going to give them the microphone because Brother David is already long-winded enough, but we do want to acknowledge and thank them for serving and tell you that there's many others that have been trained, and there's an opportunity for you to be trained. And so it is time to sign up for that. There's a training in Fairhope in February, and you can sign up for that. We at Luke 418 will pay for your training if you agree to go and be trained, so that in the years to come, if there's a need, you could deploy with them or even by yourself with other churches. And so if you're interested in being trained, there's a clipboard in the back in the foyer. You can sign up for that. We can follow up on how to do that. It's not until February, but the classes do sign up. There's different ways that you can serve, and we can get you all the information. So let's thank them one more time for their service. All right, so we're going to turn our attention to the baptistry as we continue in worship.
It's always a joy to begin our morning of corporate worship with baptism. You know, baptism is a proclamation of what Christ has done in someone's life. It's an outward expression of an inward decision. I always tell people, baptism doesn't save you. Christ is our Savior, and it's through His blood and His sacrifice that we are saved. But baptism is that proclamation of what Christ has done. And I just want to say to the church, what an amazing day, because you get to watch and see the proclamation, like last week and now this week, which is also telling you that this person who is being baptized is a member of the family, the body of Christ. And so we rejoice in how God shows us through baptism that one once was outside and now has been transformed in Christ and now is part of the family of God. Today we have Ms. Cheryl Baxter coming for baptism. Now I know Ms. Cheryl as Aunt Cheryl, and I even have her in my phone as Aunt Cheryl, though you're not my real aunt, but you are, this is Melanie Robinson who's on staff. This is her aunt, and so we all know her on staff as Aunt Cheryl. So if you hear me say that, just know that's why we say that. But she came to me this week, and she said that after last Sunday, she was ready to come on up here and just let's be baptized at the end of service, because she realized that she has known Christ for several years, but she has not walked in believer's baptism. And today, she is coming to walk in the obedience of believer's baptism, proclaiming Christ as her Lord and Savior. And so, Aunt Cheryl, is Christ the Lord of your life?
He is.
Amen. Well, it's upon your profession, my sister, that I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ unto death, and raised to walk in newness of life. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just love you so much, and we just praise your holy name. Lord, we thank you for the blood of Jesus, that because of the sacrifice of your Son, that we may have life. And Lord, we know that baptism doesn't save us, but it shares with the world. It shares with those in this room of the transformation that has taken place in our life. And so, Father, I pray if there's anyone here today who does not know you as Lord and Savior, that they would see this proclamation and that they would say, today, I want to know Christ as my Lord and Savior. Father, we just love you, we praise you, and we give you all glory. It's in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us in worship today. What a way to start our Thanksgiving service in time of worship with just a moment to say that He's Lord of our life. And I pray that we would all take that opportunity today as well. Lord Jesus, you are Lord of our life, and we want to serve you each and every day. So why don't you stand and let's greet each other as we sing the song that we bring the sacrifice of praise this morning.
We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Oh, we bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifice. The God who was We worship the God who is. We worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors. He parted the raging sea. My God, He holds the victory. Yeah. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out. God who heals, we sing to the God who saves, we sing to the God who always makes a way. Cause He hung up on that cross and He rose up from that grave. My God, still rolling storms away. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. The beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. Sing today. The beggars, and now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running. Redeemed by His grace, let the house of the Lord sing praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord. In the house of the Lord. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out.
I love the bridge. It says, we were the beggars, but now we're royalty. That He has taken us from a state where we had no hope and no help, and He's lifted us up. It says in Galatians 4, but when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that He might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, amen, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. That's the message that we hold in our hearts as a Christian. And that's the message that we need to give to a lost and a dying world. Because one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Let's sing this on this Thanksgiving service today. All creatures of our God and King, let's sing it together.
All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing. Oh, praise Him. Alleluia. Oh, praise Him. great love. Oh, praise Him. Hallelujah.
Sing this.
Christ has defeated every sin. Yes. Cast all your burdens now on Him. Oh, praise Him. Oh, praise Him. Hallelujah. Join to say, oh, praise Him. Hallelujah. Then who shall fall on bended knee? Oh, creatures of our God and King. Oh, praise Him. Oh, praise Him. Hallelujah.
Worship you, Lord, that sweet Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. That took away the sin in my heart and replaced it with a new one. We love you.
You came from heaven's throne, acquainted with our sorrow, to trade the debt we owe. Your suffering for our freedom.
Sing with me.
The Lamb of God in my place, your blood poured out, my sin erased. It was my death you died. I have raised. My name upon your heart, my shame upon your shoulders, the power of sin undone, the cross for my salvation, oh, the Lamb of Savior lived in us.
As we're looking forward to Christmas this year, we have our Christmas night of worship coming up. And each year I find that I've planned almost all Christmas songs, and then I find one that's not really a Christmas song. There's this song called How Glad the Heart that we're going to sing on that night, and we'll sing today. And it reflects on how glad we must be that we have a Savior that looks beyond our faults and sees our need. How glad we must be to give Him everything because nothing is ours to begin with. And how glad we must be that our God did not stay in heaven but came down to earth to save us from something that we inevitably could not get away from. And that is our sin. It would have stayed with us forever until He came down and with His blood gave us His own righteousness. And we celebrate that today. And we're going to sing this last hymn, Nothing But the Blood. But before we do that, I just want you to take a second and thank Him today for what He's done for you. We're going to bow our heads. We're going to close our eyes. We're just going to have a moment here just to say thank you to Jesus, and then we'll sing this together. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that Father, we thank You for Your blood. We thank You that You've given us the opportunity to gather together as a group of believers just to say, Lord, with one heart and one voice today, we are thankful. How glad we are that we have a Savior that loves us as much as You love us, Lord, with a love that does not change. Lord, we're so glad that every good and every perfect gift that You've given to us, of which there are so many, that they come down from You, the Father of lights, of which there is no shadow and no variance. And today we give this song to You as we focus on the Advent, on Your coming and the great joy that You brought with You, Lord. We look forward to Your return. Amen.
How glad the heart that hears the
Well, as we begin our time of opening God's Word together, I didn't have the opportunity to do the announcements this morning, so I just want to say Happy Thanksgiving, as this week, obviously, we celebrate Thanksgiving, which is why the Lord put on my heart Psalm 100. For those who, in your Bible, oftentimes it will say a title of the psalm. And Psalm 100 is the only psalm that speaks of a psalm of thanksgiving. And so I felt that it was very appropriate for us to open up to Psalm 100 today as we think on this week of Thanksgiving. I pray that you'll spend time just remembering all the things that we're thankful for. And for me, I always start with salvation. Because if it wasn't for salvation in Christ, I would be destined to hell, as the scripture speaks. If it wasn't for salvation in Christ, I would not be who I am today. And so I pray this week that as you think on this idea of thanksgiving, that you would just be reminded of all that God has done and who He is. Psalm 100 says this, and many of you probably have it memorized, maybe in a different version, but it says, "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations." Father, we just thank You so much for Your word today. Lord, as I always ask, put me on the front row so that I may hear what You are speaking today and walk in obedience of it. Lord, I pray that Your word would go forth today. Lord, that we would all live out according to Your truth. Now, Father, we love You, we praise You, and we give You all glory. For it's in Your precious and holy name. Amen. You know, as I prepared Psalm 100, I went straight from verse 1 through verse 5. But as I was praying this morning, I think I'm going to change the points around a little bit. I hope that's okay. For those who get the Bible app and have the points, they're going to be a little bit different this morning. For those in the back that are running the slides, it's going to be a little bit different this morning. How many of y'all actually go to the Bible app and see the points? Oh, I see four or five. Okay, there's four or five of us. Well, I'm sorry, today it won't be according to that. But I want to start by looking at why we give thanks. I was going to start in verse 1, which gives us the how, but I want to start with verse 3 and verse 5 of the why. I think it's important for us to look at the why before we look at the how. Now, I want you to also understand that this is not an exhaustive study of giving thanks. This is going to be a few things that we see here about why we give thanks. Why do we worship God? Well, at Luke 4:18, we often say this: we worship because of who He is and what He's done. We worship, we give thanks to God for who He is and what He has done. Very interesting, in Psalm 100, it speaks of this in verse 5 and in verse 3. It says this in verse 5, "For the Lord is good, His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations." The first thing I want you to see here in why we give thanks, why do we worship God, is first off because of who He is. And in this passage, we see three of His attributes. He's good. He's righteous. Think about that for a moment. That should give you peace. Everything that God does is good and right and righteous. Then it says that He is love, or His loving kindness is everlasting. We'll look at this next week as we begin our journey through Advent. But God is love. Think about John 3:16. For those who haven't memorized Luke 4:18, we're going to change the name of the church to John 3:16 if y'all don't start memorizing it. But John 3:16, for God so loved that he gave, right? It also says in Romans that God's love was manifest or demonstrated how? By his son going to the cross and dying for us. We see in 1 John that God is love. It's an unconditional agape love. That's who he is. And then it says that God is faithful. God is faithful. This is why Brother Fred was always able to say that the days ahead at Luke 4:18 are as bright as what? The promises of God. Because he knew that God is faithful. And that which he says that he will do, he will do. That which he says is going to happen is going to happen. His promises are yes, they're true. It is going to take place. We worship God. We give thanks to God because of who he is. He is good. He is love. He is faithful. But we also worship God because of what he has done. In verse 3, it speaks of what God has done. It says, know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We worship, we give thanks to God because of what he's done. First, he's created us. Look at Psalm 100 again. It says, it is he who made us and we not ourselves. Not we ourselves. None of us created ourselves. Nobody. I mean, I don't even remember the first year or two of my life, right? And nobody does. It's not we who made ourselves, but God who created us. Now, we know this from Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. I also love in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, then the Lord God formed man from the dust, from the ground, and then after forming us from the dust, what did he do? But he breathed the breath of life into us. It says he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. I personally believe that it's because of the breath of God breathing into our nostrils that brings us life is why we have a soul that will live for all eternity. And when we pass away, our body goes to the ground, but our soul, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. For a born-again believer, our soul is with Christ until the day that our body and our soul come together in the resurrection. And it'll be a new body, praise God. Brother Fred used to tell me all the time, he said, you know, David, I need some new knees, but I'm just waiting until I get to heaven, and I'm going to get those new knees. Church, God is the one who formed us. He's the one who created us. He's the one who breathed life into us. I love Psalm 139, verse 13 through 16, that says, for you, God, you formed my inward parts. You wove me together in my mother's womb. It says, I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. What is being spoken? The psalmist is saying, I am thanking you because you created me. You are the one who created me. I'm fearfully, wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. Verse 15, for my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your books were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. God is our creator, and he's the one who has created us, and he created us for a purpose, church. But here's the problem. In Genesis chapter 3, sin entered this world, and our relationship with God was broken. And the whole journey of the Old Testament is that advent of waiting on the Messiah, the expectant waiting on the Messiah to come. For when the Messiah comes, he will take our punishment upon him so that we may be reconciled to God. This is the beauty of what's said here in Psalm 100, verse 3. He says, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We worship God for who he is. We give thanks to God for who he is. But we also give thanks to God for what he has done in creating us and redeeming us. The only way that we can be the sheep of his pasture, the only way that we can be reconciled to God is by Jesus redeeming us with his own blood. He took on him our sin on the cross so that we may become the righteousness of Christ. For those who truly repent of their sins and turn to Jesus and receive the free gift of eternal life, it says that they are covered by the blood of Jesus, and in his righteous standing, they are able to go before the throne of God, and God does not see their sin, but he sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Not only did God create us, but he redeemed us. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13 through 14. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. We also see in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7 and 8. In him we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile ways of life inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood as of the Lamb, unblemished, spotless, the blood of Christ. Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Church, we see that God not only created us, but he redeemed us through the finished work of Jesus Christ. So why do we worship God? Why do we give thanks to God? Because of who he is. He's good, he's love, he's faithful, and so much more that we could go on and on all day. But also because of what he's done. He has created us, and he has redeemed us. Church, I just think about this for a moment. Like, if you don't fully, and listen, I don't know if we can fully grasp all of this, but if we don't get a good grasp on the fact that we once were dead and now we have been made alive in Christ, we once were destined to hell and now we are called children of the Most High God, we once were children of wrath even as the rest, but now we have been redeemed by God. If we don't get that in our heart, not our mind, but in our heart, deep in our heart, then how could we ever truly come before his courts with praise and his gates with thanksgiving? So I think that it's important for us just to dwell on the why before we get to the how. Why do we give thanks to God? Because of who he is and what he's done. Now let's go back and look at how. Now there's many ways throughout Scripture that we worship God. We see this, but ultimately, if you want to get down to the easiest example of worship, we go to Romans chapter 12. It's our life, right? We see that there. But here in Psalm 100, we see in verse 1 and 2 a how to worship, how to give thanks. It says, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. So we see here in verse 1, shout. We see in verse 2, serve. We see in verse 2, sing. Shout, serve, and sing. So let's look at this. That word shout means to cry out loudly. Okay? To cry out loudly. I think that we all get that. We see three times in verse 1 and 2 the context of this shout. We see to shout joyfully. I mean, let me just show you. It says in verse 1, shout joyfully. Verse 2, serve with gladness. Verse 2, come before him with joyful singing. All three of these, joyful, gladness, joyful, is speaking about the heart. It's the overwhelming of who God is and what he's done that we come with a joyful shout before the Lord. Now, you may say, David, I'm a little bit confused on this shout, that we're supposed to shout. Because if somebody shouts in here today, we're all going to be wondering what is going on. Maybe they're Baptist-costal, you know what I mean? Like, what is going on in this place? Y'all get that in a minute. But let me just ask you a question. How many of you have ever been to a concert? And you know, you've got a few bands that go up there first, but then all of a sudden the one you've been waiting for walks out. And what happens? Everybody begins to just shout and get excited. Now, for some of you in this room, you're saying, well, David, I haven't been to a concert in a long time. Well, let me just speak on a level that you'll really understand. This coming up Saturday is a game in the state of Alabama that some of you will be happy and some will be sad. And a few of you in this room don't care because you cheer for another team, but we'll pray for you. But listen, here's the thing. Like, when I was in college, I used to go to the Iron Bowl in hopes that I would get a ticket. I won't tell you which team I was cheering for. Some of you know, it's okay. I be all things to all people. I'll say Roll Tide and War Eagle, okay? Like, all things to all people for the sake of the gospel. And so here's the thing, though. I would go as a student from Troy up to the Iron Bowl, whether it was Alabama or Auburn, and I would hope I would get a ticket. I would hope. Sometimes I got a ticket. Sometimes I didn't. And what was interesting is the days or the times I didn't get a ticket, I was sitting outside with everybody else that didn't get a ticket. And we would watch the game on the screen. But here's the interesting thing. The screen is just a few seconds behind the actual play on the field. So all of a sudden, we would hear this crescendo of shouts, like, ah, and then everybody's going crazy, and we're like, oh, something big just happened, right? Something, and if you were at Auburn, you knew that that meant that Auburn probably just scored. If you're at Alabama, you knew that Alabama probably just scored because they're not going to go crazy and excited with that many people for the other team, right? And so we're sitting out there and you could hear this crescendo of excitement all because of a football team that scored that they were a fan of. Now, let's just be very transparent in this place. I am not trying to make you feel guilty about cheering for a team. Now, for those who may throw things at the TV, we need to pray. But I'm not trying to get on to you or make you feel guilty about your excitement on game day. But what I want you to hear is that you, when you are shouting in that moment, this the joy of what's happening that's overwhelming you, that you're wanting to just stand and scream. Scripture says, shout joyfully to the Lord. How often are we so overwhelmed that we begin to just shout joyfully to the Lord because of who he is and what he has done? For those who are saying, David, this is the only passage, I don't know about this whole idea of shouting, a cry of loudness, or a cry out loudly, let me just give you a few. Psalm 32:11, Psalm 33:3, Psalm 47:1, Psalm 66:1, Psalm 71:23, Psalm 81:1, Psalm 95:1 through 2, Psalm 98:4 through 6. You're like, David, I can't keep up, and they're trying to keep up in the back. I wasn't really giving you all those to go read now. I'm just trying to let you be overwhelmed that it speaks over and over. Shout joyfully, shout joyfully, shout joyfully, shout joyfully. Why? Because we're overwhelmed by who God is and what he's done. Hey, you can say amen to that. You can shout amen to that. Amen. Josh is our cheerleader over here. The next thing that we see is serve. Thankfulness of who God is and what he's done leads us to serve. But I think it's very important for us to see we serve the Lord with gladness. We don't serve because we have to. We serve because our heart is overwhelmed with gladness. We serve because Christ served first and gave us an example to serve. Matthew 20, verse 28, It said, it is not this way among you. And he was talking about who should be the greatest in the kingdom. But he says this in verse 27. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. And then John 13, which speaks of the Last Supper, where Jesus washes the feet and he says to them, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. And he calls them, he says, that which I have done, go and wash others' feet. He calls them to do that. Verse 15 says, for I gave you an example that you also would do. Listen, when we get overwhelmed by who God is and what he has done, then we want to serve as a heart that overflows with thanksgiving and with gratefulness to God. We serve not because we have to. We don't serve because we're trying to check boxes. Listen, for those who serve on Sunday mornings that come into the choir, we don't do that just because we have to or check boxes. It's an overflow of gratitude of what God has done. For those that are playing in the orchestra, it's not out of a have to. It's because I want to, out of an overflow of what God has done. For those who are serving in our lobby and at the doors, welcoming people. For those who are at the know and the grow and the go table. For those who are helping in the sound booth or are behind the scenes with baptism. It's not because we have to. It's because we are overflowing with gratitude for what God has done. And who he is. And then the third one that we see is sing. It says, come before him with joyful singing. You know, it's interesting. Some people ask, why do we sing on Sunday mornings? Well, because God has called us to be a singing people. One way we give thanks is through song. I was looking up some different researches and things, but one researcher says that there's around 400 verses pertaining to singing in the scripture. Look at Psalm 147:7. It says, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Why do we sing? Why do we sing on a Sunday morning? Because of who God is and what he has done. This is the how of thanksgiving. We enter his enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. We're overwhelmed. Listen, when I send out the bulletin article on Fridays and I write this little bit at the top and I often say, I hope you're having a wonderful week of worship. And sometimes I'll say, I pray you'll prepare your hearts for worship on Sunday. How do you prepare your hearts? But you get overwhelmed by what God has done and who he is. You begin to just open up God's word and you begin to see his characteristics and his attributes and it just washes over you. And you get so excited to come in with the body of Christ corporately to sing praises and to hear his word opened as an act of worship. Singing is not an obligation, it's a joy. Listen, there's been times where I wasn't joyful and I would sit in a congregation and we were singing and I was like, okay. But there were times where I'm just overwhelmed by who God is and what he's done. That as Psalm 100 verse 2 says, joyfully singing. The words of the song express our heart of thanksgiving to the Lord. Let me just show you a practical example. This morning we started singing with a song called A Sacrifice of Praise. We started with a song that speaks of what we are doing, praising the Lord with a heart of joy and thankfulness. And then we went into a song that says there's joy in the house of the Lord, or at least that's what it's called. And this was a reminder of who God is. Look at what the words say, and I don't think they have it on the screen, so I'll just share it to you. We worship the God who was, we worship the God who is, we worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors, he parted the raging sea. My God, he holds the victory. We started by saying we're going to praise God from joy and thanksgiving. We went directly into who our God is. You may say, well, David, we didn't go into all the things that God is. Yeah, we'd still be singing. And we'd still be singing until the Lord returned. which leads us to singing about the joy we have because of who he is. So then we went from that to all creatures of our God and King and oh, praise him. We moved to just simply praising God for who he is. In that song, it says, Alleluia, which is the same as Hallelujah, which means praise the Lord. And then we went into a song called The Lamb of God, No Greater Love. It says that we praise God for what he's done. We started with just acknowledging that we're going to praise God today from our joy and thanksgiving. We moved into who our God is. Then we moved into what God has done. In that song, Lamb of God, it says, the Lamb of God in my place. Your blood poured out, my sin erased. It was my death you died. I am raised to life. Hallelujah, the Lamb of God. And we continued with nothing but the blood. What did we do this morning in our singing? Was we gave thanks to God for who he is and what he's done. Now, I want to be very transparent. It's not every week, and it's actually very seldom that I get up here on a message and explain to you all the songs that we just sang. But that's what Brother Aaron is doing throughout the week. Is he saying, Lord, open my heart and my mind that I may lead the congregation in song about who you are and what you've done. That we may have an overflow of joy and thanksgiving. It's not just us sitting out here singing, church. It's us singing from an overflow. The words on the screen are speaking and showing us, or at least we're speaking and showing God with those words, acknowledging his worth. And I just want to say this in this moment. Many times, and listen, I've been here 17 years. I was in a church in Illinois previous. Many times I hear people come and say, Pastor, could we sing something a little faster? Pastor, could we sing something a little slower? Pastor, could we sing a little bit more of the hymns? Pastor, can we sing a little bit more of the contemporary? Can I just tell you that our preference is important to each of us? It is. But our preference is about the speed of music when what we need to be focused in on is who God is and what he's done. And there's some amazing hymns that speak of that. In fact, I've been sending Brother Aaron some hymns for a service in January that's from the 1700s that many of us have probably never even heard of. I was like, man, I've never heard that hymn. And this is incredible. And I said, hey, Brother Aaron, you need to start working on this one. I'm going to call on it soon. Right? Like, and then there's some songs that I hear that are just absolutely incredible that may be a little bit more upbeat. And I'm like, hey, you need to check this song out because it speaks of what God has done. Listen, he and I are never focused necessarily on the speed. We are focused on making God's name known of who he is and what he's done and worshiping in spirit and in truth. So we see the how and the why. We see that verse 3 and verse 5 speak of the why. We see in verse 1 and 2 that speak of the how. I want to jump down to verse 4. And in verse 4, I believe we see an invitation to give thanks. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. Entering into his gates with thanksgiving. You know, it's interesting. This past Friday, the 55 Alive went over to see all the pieces that were designed and created for the temple here in Mobile. And when I say the temple here in Mobile, the Mishkoff Gallery, and I probably said that wrong. But he creates and designs replicas or those that resemble the temple furniture. And we went over there, and as we're walking in, I took a picture of it. I wish I'd have thought enough to put it on the screen. But we walked in, and right in when we walked to the gates, it says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise." And we walked in, all 20 plus of us, just walked in through that gate together. I believe that in verse 4, that entering his gates is a call for us together to enter in with thanksgiving and praise. And so I believe that the best way for us to finish our study of Psalm 100 today is to have an invitation to give thanks together. And so I've asked Brother Aaron to come up and lead us in two songs. If you want to shout, go for it. Some of y'all are going to shout on Saturday. Why don't we shout today? Because let me just tell you, who wins on Saturday in the grand scheme of eternity means nothing. But who won the day that Jesus walked out of that grave means everything. For some of us, you just want to sing. And we're just going to praise God from the overflow of our heart. Listen, the two songs that we're going to sing is "Bless the Lord, O My Soul." Think about this. What does it say in verse 4? Go back, put verse 4 on the screen for me again. Psalm 100, verse 4 says this. "Give thanks to Him and bless His name." We're blessing His name because of who He is and what He's done. And then we're going to sing an amazing song. "Thank you, Lord, for the blood applied." We're going to celebrate who God is, and we're going to celebrate what He has done as we go out and have a wonderful week of worship, thanking God for all that He's done. Let's pray as Brother Aaron and the team come up. Father, we just love You so much, and we just praise Your holy name. Father, I thank You for Your love, Your grace, Your mercy. You are good. You are love. You are faithful. Father, You have created us. You have redeemed us. And Father, You are the King of kings, the Lord of lords. There is none like You. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, You are the Lord God, and there is no other. So Father, today we praise Your holy name. Father, I pray that we as the body of Christ would shout, that we would sing. Lord, we don't want to create an emotion. We want to be overwhelmed by who You are and what You've done. And so, Father, we simply say thank You today. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. So, God, we offer our praise to You as we enter Your gates with thanksgiving and Your courts with praise. It's in the precious and holy name of Jesus we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand and sing together.
Let's sing this together.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name.
Sing that again. Bless Him.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. He has done great things. He has done great things. He has done great things. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy, Your holy name.
Amen. Yes. Amen. God, You have invited us to give You worship and give You praise. We do that today for who You are and what You've done. We thank You for Your great blood that was shed for us. Lord, would You lead us?
I was a wretch. I remember who I was. I was lost. I was blind. I was running. Separated, the breach was far. behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross you paid the debt I owe.
Sing it, church.
Broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the
Amen.